Welcome. It's Thursday night and time for Psychic Viewpoint on PsychicAccessTalkRadio.com. Spirituality, psychic development, love and relationships, manifesting prosperity, and more. You now have access to the world's most renowned spiritual teachers, healers, psychics, and mediums as you join us during this transpersonal collective experience. Sponsored by PsychicAccess.com, where all psychics have been interviewed, verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you the highest quality of quality service. And now, on with this week's show.
Hello, my name is Carmen Miro, and you are listening to a special New Year's presentation of Psychic Viewpoint. Welcome, you New Year listeners, or at least on day two of our New Year. Tonight's event will be focusing on the upcoming New Year 2014 prediction with renowned astrologer Michel Caron, sponsored by PsychicAccess.com. In a moment, Michelle will be joining us to discuss the astrological chart for all of 2014. This is the world predictions, so globally. Before we get started, please join me in welcoming my wonderful co-hosts. Maureen, how are you this evening?
I'm warmer than you, I think, huh, Carmen?
Oh, it is.
Not, but I'll trade places. Yes. I'm looking forward to your show and happy, or, you know, as I say, welcome to yet another year, not in a negative way, but 2014. Anyway, and I am looking forward to your show very much.
And you want,
I don't know, crazy
you,
girl.
You work with us.
I do. Do I know you guys? Yes, I do. I can be seen over at psychicaccess.com, and I also, well, what I am is an intuitive psychic empath, just all around good old fashioned kind of spiritual girl. And I've been professionally working in my work for about 25 years, and it is what I must do, and there you have it.
So guys, that's Maureen. She's a tarot reader with us, and thank you, Maureen.
Welcome.
All right. Stephen. Hello, monsieur. How are you tonight?
Bonsoir, mademoiselle. I'm fine. Happy 2014 to you.
Thank you. Thank you. And what do you do with us, Stephen? What is your specialty, your superpower?
Specialité de maçon. The specialty? Oui. My specialty, the two tools I use most of all are tarot and astrology, which is why I'm really frothing at the mouth to hear all of your guests' comments tonight. I always love the shows that are oriented toward these two topics, and so I'm just really excited to be here tonight. And like I say, I am a tarot reader, and I practice medieval astrology at PsychicAccess.com along with all of you beautiful people.
Wonderful. Thank you, Stephen, for allowing us to hear that we were beautiful people, and that is a frightening image of you frothing at the mouth.
Yes, it is.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure, my pleasure.
Steve, nice to meet you. What do you do with us, Steve? How are you tonight?
I'm very well, thank you, Carmen. Happy New Year, and Happy New Year to all of our listeners as well. Well, I'm a psychic medium and hermetic astrologer, so I'm also very excited about this evening's show.
And you will be able to maybe give me some questions at some point, or if you have any insight whatsoever as to different types of charts and whatever, and questions that you have as an astrologer, I'd be very interested in your input.
Thank you.
As well. Fascinating. No, that's just great. You know, we have we do meet a few astrologers on here sometimes, but each and every one of them has a unique way and a unique form of study. And with that, we are going to introduce our speaker tonight, Michel Caron. She is an astrologer, author, and shamanism teacher who is highly regarded for her mastery in the international community, for her ability to pierce through the most challenging situations with her insight. Visit her at www.michellecaron.com. You can review her books, her travels, her essays, and her presentations. Michelle is the author of Astrology for Enlightenment. And so without much of more of a wait, let's say hello to Michelle. Hello.
Hello, Carmen. How are you doing?
Oh, wonderful. Thanks for meeting us. Happy How are you tonight?
Year
Happy New Year.
Everybody. Let's co-create a year of peace, happiness, joy, love, abundance, and everything we desire this year.
I think so. And so what you are, I'd like to find out from you. For one, you have a beautiful, beautiful voice.
Thank you.
I must imagine that you probably use that in your work to do your meditations, your singing for your shamanism instruction. And you just have an amazing presence, a very calm energy.
Thank
You've
you.
Written several books. Tell us a little bit about your background, because now I believe, is this correct, that not only inspired by Linda Goodman, as we all were, I mean, absolute
She's
staple.
Amazing.
Did you study under her as well?
No, I did not, but I did read her book when I was 14, and this made me want to become an astrologer. And I mean, to this day, I still believe she's the greatest teacher I ever had, even though I never met her personally. But I believe in spirit, we were extremely connected. And she was a genius in that she was able to explain very deep, esoteric, ancient wisdom, astrological wisdom, in a way that was very accessible to popular understanding. So it's at the same time her books were very poetic, very deep, very rich, very real, and at the same time very simple to understand. So of course when I read this when I was 14 and I told my parents I was going to be an astrologer, they're like, what is she talking about? How old is she? And but I was determined, so I started, you know, I read all the books, because what was amazing about Linda Goodman's Sun Signs is that somebody who had never met me could describe me better than people who lived with me. And then I realized that whatever, you know, people said was so wrong with me was actually just my sign, was my reality, was who I was, and there was nothing wrong with that, with being a Capricorn, that's who I was, you know. And then when I started looking at everybody around me, I realized how accurate this was and how deep this was and how insightful that was and how we could not judge other people, because truly we were who we were, and that was, and it was more important to understand what we were than to start trying to be something we were not, or trying to compare ourselves with someone else.
That's true. So, that's like the 12 components to a full human, an entire human.
Absolutely. And then I started studying alone under the covers. And at that time, we were living in Switzerland, in Geneva, Switzerland. And my father, who was a journalist, was, you know, got a post in Washington, D.C. So we moved to Washington, D.C., which was heaven for me, because there were all these astrological books everywhere. And I started devouring everything I could put my hands on. And I started, and I taught myself how to calculate charts on my own and by hand. There was, you know, I had no computer
oh,
at the
wow.
time.
Yeah.
And I started doing, you know, the charts of everybody in school. So I created my own little, you know, virtual radio show. After hours, all the kids in school could call me, and I would have their chart, and I would ask their questions, and I would guide them. But of course, this did not make me super popular, because when they were having a party and having fun, nobody invited me, because I just knew too much and I was way too serious. And then, you know, when I was 17, I finished the French school. My parents asked me what I wanted to do, and to me, it was obvious I was going to be an astrologer. I already was an astrologer. And now they're screaming and yelling and telling me this is not a job and this is not possible and I need to get a master's degree, don't care in what. But so I did. I went on and studied, you know, philosophy. By that time, we had returned to Geneva, and I studied the role of archetypes in the meaning of human existence in the works of Carl Gustav Jung, which was really the closest I could find to astrology. And actually his daughter became an astrologer. And then 4 years later, I got my master's degree, but I was also at that time a full-blown astrologer. And I had clients, I had classes, people had put you know, rooms at my disposal to give courses. And when I was 21, and what could my parents do? I wasn't strange. I wasn't on drugs. I wasn't weird. I was an astrologer, and I never did anything else. That's my path. That's my passion. That's my vocation. That's what I believe I was born to do, and I'm very grateful to have this amazing, blessed path.
And you have, so you did your studies, and by the way, in Carl Jung, and I remember his studies in astrology, if I'm correct, he studied married couples, and he studied their positioning. Didn't he do a study of 250 married couples, and he found that a lot of them had some kind of a specific trine, and maybe you remember what came out of those studies that Carl Jung did. Did you remember those?
No, I don't, but I know that his daughter became an astrologer, a professional astrologer, and he absolutely, you know, it wasn't even a question of believing. People always ask me, what, you believe in that nonsense? No, I don't. I don't believe in astrology. I see it working. You don't need to believe something that you see working over and over and over again. It's not a question of belief. It's reality. It works. It's true.
That's correct. You know, one of the reasons I have a tremendous amount of respect for persons like yourself, and I have an interest in different forms of world astrology, is because it's actually a science. I was a non-believer, having been a psychic, having worked in the industry, and then I was only converted over when I expressed some interest. And I had a person who was very knowledgeable explain to me the mythology, you know, the layouts of the charts, which I'm only still learning now. And then every day she would give me an update. And over our course of our friendship, over about 2 years, I got to know it very intimately. And I found that it was extremely, almost scientifically accurate. And then I thought, well, it's the same with tarot. You know, when you use the tarot, if you know them very well, you do start to learn that they're absolutely 100% reliable. Yet we are familiar with people, you know, with very, you know, one card spreads or, you know, newspaper spreads or general spreads. And maybe you can explain a little bit about how you work specifically. You wrote a book on quantum astrology, which I find really interesting because I thought that that was the idea of molecular astrology seems fascinating. But I also, my co-workers, colleagues here, I want to ask as well, they're just hankering for the answer. What charts do you use? And by the way, do you still draw them up by hand or do you use a computer now?
Yeah. No, I can't. I'm doing too many readings. I would be just doing nothing else but calculations. You know, when you do it by hand, it takes about 8 to 9 hours to actually calculate a chart. And there are so many different charts you can calculate because a chart, the basic natal chart, which everything is based on the date of birth, full date of birth of a person, time and place in terms of latitude and longitude. And this is a picture of the heavens for the first breath of that person. But it can also be the first breath of an object, of a project, of marriage, of moving into a home. You know, anything that has a beginning is extremely important. And for example, laying the first brick of a building is extremely important. That's how Greenwich became the major, you know, the first meridian. Greenwich was actually established astrologically. And this is really the GPS for somebody's life. And from there, you can create all sorts of different charts, you know, that are going to give insights into different layers of the person's destiny and path. So, for example, you know, there's a famous solar return that people on their birthday, the sun returns to exactly the same position it was in at birth. And from that time, that date, and that year, and that location, you actually can establish the chart of what is going to happen in that person's life during that coming year from their birthday to their birthday. And some people actually choose to travel on the day of their birthday in order to shift a little bit in their coming year. For example, you can also determine the destiny of countries. Countries also have charts, you know, based on the day of independence, for example, the day when the government changed. And that would be, for example, the time of the winter solstice or the equinoxes. This will, especially the vernal point, so the point of 0 degrees Aries, that is, you would establish a chart for each country, and that will tell you what is going to happen during that year or that those next few months in that country.
So for this reading tonight, when did you cast it from where you are right now? Are you in France right now?
I'm in France right now, yes. In Brittany, overlooking the ocean.
Mon Dieu, I love Brittany. I went to Mont-Saint-Michel as well.
That's
so pretty. I'm sure you must have gone there with your name.
It's 2 in the morning here. And it's very dark and it's raining, and it's very wild coast.
Amazing. And those old brick houses, and those women still have those beautiful lace. Do they still do that?
They do, absolutely. It's beautiful.
Oh, that's an amazing tradition. Lovely, lovely. Well, tell us about this chart tonight. So you cast it from Brittany in France. And what do you tell us? We're curious. We want some fantastic news.
Well, I'll use the 2014 because I think it's important, since we are just starting this new year, to really understand the whole layout of this year. 2013 was a very dramatic year for many people. It was a year of complete reorganization. So many people, you know, found themselves in extremely difficult situations, whether, you know, family situations, whether they lost a job, whether they moved, whether they changed, you know, in their relationships. I mean, there was really a whole regridding, because 2012, the 21st of December 2012, was the end of the Mayan calendar, which didn't actually end on that day, because there are still references to dates in, you know, 3,000 years from now, so meaning that they were absolutely aware that this was not the end of the world, as some people would have had belief, you know, which was absolutely not true. But it was the end of one cycle. It was the end of one way of living, of the old paradigms. And the mass consciousness that was reached on the 21st of December 2012 in every country, and I'm so blessed to be traveling all over the world, and I'm always amazed that no matter what race, what culture, what even religion, what anything we are, everybody was involved all over the planet in that shift. And in 2013, we could have thought that, oh, well, now we reached this time of enlightenment, of awareness. Now things are going to be easy. But actually, they became in a way more difficult, because all the darkness came to the surface, which, of course, is darkness is revealed by light. And the more light was happening on the planet, the more people became aware, the more people such as yourself, you know, people who are doing work as you are doing and awakening the masses, well, this brought to the surface all those things that were not. And it brought to the surface all the violence, all the negativity, all the you know, the beliefs that were no longer appropriate for our evolution. And it's not so much that there's so much more darkness, but it's much more visible now. And people who were out of integrity, it became very, very clear. And there were separations that were very surprising, and coming together also of people who were very surprising, which were very surprising because, you know, that was a time where people revealed their truth, and sometimes even enemies became friends and friends became enemies, and family members went in a whole different direction, and people we hadn't seen for decades all of a sudden came back. I mean, there was all this reshifting of everything, and it was, and nothing was as it seemed, which was quite extraordinary. And in 2014, we're going to have more of the same. It's not going to be quite as dramatic, but there's still going to be a lot of the letting go of the old paradigms, which means that we're going to have to be even more in our hearts. We're going to have to be even more in our integrity. We're going to discover talents we didn't know we had, or we could all of a sudden have a different awareness of our own destiny, of our own life. There could be things we have thought about, and all of a sudden we have the courage to just do it. You know, I was on the plane coming here, and I saw this documentary of this English lady who was in a regular job in England, and I think she was English or Australian, I'm not sure. I think she was English. And anyway, and one day she decided she was just going to give up her job and row across the Atlantic on a little boat on her own. And she's done that now several times. I mean, it's a crazy idea, but somehow she did it. And not only did she survive, but she developed an incredible philosophy of life and peace and happiness. And she was literally glowing as she was talking about her experiences. And stuff like that is happening. People are just giving up, you know, what seems like quote-unquote security and following their dreams, no matter how crazy they seem, and finding true happiness and true peace and true serenity. And this is what we are meant to do now, that money comes as we follow our bliss. Money comes and abundance comes as we are true to our calling. And it's not a time to just stay in situations just for the sake of security or the sake of, oh, I've always done that. Now is a time to not necessarily risk everything, but do things we want to do. Be real. And this is the magic of 2014. And I feel, because it's also a year that started with a new moon, and this has to do with new beginnings. This has to do with anchoring ourselves into something that is much more magical.
May I ask you what the moon was in when it came in this year?
In the Capricorn. So this is really about everything that has to do with ambition, has to do with our place in society. How do we want to be remembered? How do we want to be seen? Who are we in our, you know, what is our contribution to the wider world? And where are we going from here? What is our, you know, what are our long-term goals, and how do we structure ourselves, and what is this wisdom that's inside of us that's asking to emerge outside of us?
You know, you are a Capricorn, and we are going into a year that is of a Capricorn nature. Is that correct? Could you explain to us a little bit about how you would describe yourself? How we could describe the character of this year?
Well, I think this year, I mean, first of all, numerologically, this is a year, a 7 year, and seven numerologic and esoteric numerology is ruled by Neptune. And Neptune is the planet of mysticism, the planet of oneness, the planet also of the oceans, of music, of clairvoyance and enlightenment. So it is truly a year where there could be a lot of dreaming, and yet practical dreaming, because it started with the moon in Capricorn and new moon in Capricorn, which happened on the 1st of January. So it's really a year to co-create. It's really a year to decide what is it that we want. Because we tend to forget that astrology, you know, we always feel that the planets are influencing us, but we forget to think that we also influence the planets. It goes both ways. That everything everyone does affects everybody else, because truly we are all one. And that's what the ocean is all about. So I believe there's going to be also very big concerns about the health of the oceans. There's going to be creative solutions about how to shift the oceans. There's going to be more a sense that we are dreaming our lives, that at night we could feel that our dreams are extremely real. And then when we wake up and we are walking in our daily life, we could feel that we are actually in a dream. And we could start wondering, what is dream and what is reality? Where does it start? Where does it end? And maybe this is all part of the same process. And
so
maybe also what one
okay.
thinks affects everybody else, because we are all connected in a dream world, in a dream time. And actually, if you think of it, it's pretty amazing, you know, when one part of the world is asleep, the other part of the world is awake, and vice versa. So we are constantly in this flux of transformation and connectedness.
I like that idea. Yeah, that's very true. So right now, somebody's working our future, our fortunes, and our dream, our logic, our other reality. Right now, as we speak, people are asleep. Well, of course, where you are as well. And so that would be the Neptune
right now.
Yeah. And so what chart did you use when you cast this specifically? And were you able to see anything out of the ordinary? Or is this actually a calmer year? It's a calmer year, isn't it?
It's a year. I mean, Neptune is always about, is more, it's more mystical. It's more ethereal. It's more mysterious. There's always a sense of having to go with the flow in a way. There's a way, it's not a year to push our will and say, this is what I want to do and this is how I want to do it. It's more a year to track things, you know, like shamans do. They track, they just listen, they just feel their way and they move forward. In, it's not the path of least resistance, but it's a more flowing way with, in harmony with everything that is the way it is. So there's really a sense of listening to ourselves, listening to the world. So it could be a year where we do need to be more alone. It's a year where we need to be interactive with others, but we also, and we could meet people. We just meet and we feel we've been friends forever. And there could be also times where we just need to be alone in nature. We need to be by the ocean. We need to meditate. We need to be in this space where we can allow our minds to just float freely, and our subconscious is taking more space and more time, and, you know, drawing into our lives elements that are of the unknown. So
yeah.
It's a year, I would say, where it's a year where we need to leave spaces in between. It's not a year to pack ourselves with action. It's not a year to be forceful and dynamic in a way of planning everything out to the second. It's really a year to just allow spaces where we have no idea how they're going to be filled. We don't know what's going to happen during those weeks or those months. But we trust that somehow the picture is going to form itself. Because it's a little, you know, when we were little, we had those sheets with dots and numbers, and we had to connect the dots. I don't know where they went. I don't know if that still exists. But it was such a beautiful thing, because you had no idea what you were drawing as you were drawing it. And yet, all of a sudden, the picture would emerge. And that's exactly what's going to happen in 2014, which is a 7 year. We will be just drawing without really knowing what it is that we're drawing. And all of a sudden, we'll be like, oh my God, this is it. This is, oh my God, this is exactly what's going on. So we will really understand the deeper, more subtle messages that are underlying certain currents that are happening in a very organic way, and we will be like almost watching the films of our own lives and deriving very deep consciousness of elements that go way beyond what is literally happening. And there is going to be the understanding of the deeper layers of everything else that has led to that, and that is creating this immense picture. So it's an extraordinary year. It's a year of the horse also in Chinese astrology, so that's going to start in February. And that is a year that is usually a year of very dynamic, spontaneous projects. You know, it's a year of enthusiasm. It's a year where people are just happier, where there's really a sense of we are entering a portal of light. There is a sense of things are just whatever was blocked, whatever we had to shed in 2013, now we can start to open new spaces.
Is this going to be a continuation all the way through until for the? Is this something that primes us for the next decade, or is this the calm before the storm?
No, this is actually we are still in the process. I want to say of this Uranus square Pluto that started in June of 2012, that's going to end in March of 2015. Actually, March, April, May 2015, which is the bringing to the surface of everything that is outmoded and everything that was done in corruption, in violence, in lack of integrity. This is going to absolutely explode. So it's the nice thing is that really we have nothing to do because whatever is not is going to self-destroy. And it's going to become so obvious to everybody that there is no way we can hide anything or no anybody can hide anything. So, you know, everything that is of the darkness is not giving up without a fight, which means that until 2015, there will still be this sense of, you know, some things coming out of nowhere that seem like very dark and very violent and very negative. But then that's because they're dying. That's because it's not the new energy, the new grid is just not supporting that kind of old paradigm, that kind of old energy. So it's not going to last forever, but the transformation is going to last, you know, it's not going to happen overnight because there's so much to transform and in some areas and in some countries and some cultures more than others. But everything, whether they like it or not, is evolving. Everything, every person, every situation, every government, every institution, everything is evolving. Nothing is untouched by this light that's spreading all over the world.
I like the way you refer to it as light. And we're going to go to a quick commercial right now and then come back to this next point. One moment, please.
A new era in psychic services has begun. PsychicAccess.com. You can connect with our psychic advisors by telephone or chat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. All of our psychic advisors are interviewed, fully verified, and accuracy tested, assuring you quality service. We're living in some very troubled times right now. More and more, the world's problems are affecting us on a personal level. You don't have to deal with this alone. Our highly accurate psychics, caring advisors, and talented mediums can help with situations you are currently experiencing and can let you know what the future may hold for you. All new customers get a free 6-minute reading. All you have to do is register. Why not visit us now and get a free reading at psychicaccess.com.
Okay.
Hi, Michelle. Here we are. And just to continue our conversation. Hi. Okay. So you were telling us about the wonderful aspects that we're going to come into a settling point this year where people are going to be seeing a lot of clarity. And from what I can see is they're not liking it. Do you think that the people in themselves are going to settle down with the news and the information and everything that they're seeing, you know, the real world? They're waking up. What do you think psychologically they're going to be doing this year? You think it's just going to be about them, about us being able to live with these changes?
Yes, I'm here. I'm back. I'm sorry. I was disconnected.
Oh, no problem. It happened. So were you able to hear me?
Sorry, there's a storm here. outside, so I think it's affecting the communication.
I think that's very quaint, and we don't mind that at all. Now, as long as you can hear me, continue on about telling us about how people are adjusting to the new information, the new world, the light that they're seeing. How are they going to handle their new world? Is this a year that they are going to settle?
Well, you know, it's a very difficult question to answer, but it's a very good question. I think some people are going to be very disturbed by this. Some people are going to be very confused by this. Some people are going to just flow with the flow and just soar to heights, amazing heights. Some people may choose to die, you know, may choose to just cross over and continue their lives, you know, in a different form and not in this physical envelope that they had on this plane, because it's too much for them, you know. And a lot of people, everybody is taking their role, and even those people who are crossing over. And my own sister actually died a year and a half ago just at the end of 2012, actually, in a hang gliding accident. But the communications I've had with her since she died is that she really has awakened on the other side, and she has been able to do an amount of work that she was not able to do in a physical body while she was in the consciousness she was in. So, and some of these people who are also leaving the planet are leaving the planet with taking with them a very old karma that we don't need anymore. It's really a time when we need to reinvent ourselves, and we need to not hold on to the old guilt, to the old fears, to the old difficulties that we've been dragging along. Now is a time of first of all, synchronicities, amazing encounters, there's amazing, miracles are happening if we start to focus our minds in the right place and really be focused, you know, connected to our hearts in the right way. Amazing things can happen that seemed absolutely impossible and yet are happening. And how many times have we thought of something and within a few minutes it was appearing around us? So we're starting to really understand the powers of our mind, the powers, our divine powers. We're really becoming human dolphins. We are really becoming masters. And masters can only be masters if they are in absolute integrity. And being in integrity means being absolutely honest with oneself. So we cannot, you know, we have to walk our talk. We cannot have our left hand not know what our right hand is doing. Everything has to be in alignment. And this is, and for some people who may have been quite out of alignment or even a little out of alignment, it's going to become very obvious where they are. And we're going to have to rectify that. There's going to be no choice. It's going to be obvious. It's going to be unbearable, actually, not to be in alignment.
That's true. And when I think of the word alignment, and that is of the Uranus quality, which is an independent thought, is that correct? Because we have
absolutely
a lot of Uranus.
Well, this square, squares are a 90-degree angle between two planets, and this is always a challenge. It's never an easy, flowing, nice, you know, harmonious, serene transition. It's always through difficulty, through effort, through a sense of, you know, having to put our energy into creating the transformation. And Uranus, to me, is lightning striking. It is this force that shows us, you know, lights darkness in a blinding light, and then darkness comes back and we have to find our way into the darkness. And Pluto is this energy of the lava, the volcano that's been underground and that has all these very unconscious, is very deep, rich, but very dark forces involved in it, and emerges to the surface. So we're really in trust fires right now.
I mean, well, you count Pluto in your
things
chart.
From the inside emerging, these shadows coming out, and then we have these major insights and major breakthroughs and major enlightenment, and it's all happening at once. So I think that's also explaining the very extreme, temperatures and climates and weather we've had, and those, those very major destructions that even nature has been creating in certain countries, on certain islands, like in the Philippines, like now the island of Reunion Island in the, south of Africa, which is completely devastated by 200 mile winds and dramatic, rains. I mean, this is all part of this cleansing. This is all part also of Mother Earth saying enough, enough. Let's just, now is the time either we move forward and we become of the light and we free ourselves from the old bondages, or we cannot be here anymore. It's not possible. The new energy does not support these lies and these darknesses and this stagnant energy. It's just not possible.
How long is this transit going to last in terms of the darkness coming to light?
Well, really until between March and May of 2015. So we still have a year of this, but it's not, I believe, going to be as dramatic as 2013, because in 2013 we were shocked. It was like, when you land in a new country and you have to learn everything, you have to figure out everything. After a while, you start to know the ropes. And now we have figured out some of the ropes in 2013. So we still are not out of the woods. We still have personal work to do and collective work to do. But at least, I would say the worst is behind us already. There will still be some major adjustments in 2014, and by May 2015, it's going to be really cleared. The decks are going to be cleared. But so it's not a time to say, oh, well, we have arrived and let's just rest on our laurels. This is a time to be extremely vigilant. This is a time to be extremely, not fearful, but aware. And not, in expectation of anything bad happening, but in the awareness that we have to be very present to the present, and we have to deal with things as they emerge and take them extremely seriously. This is a time we cannot afford not to do our personal work. We just cannot.
That's correct. In terms of this, is this a good year for working together as teams? In terms of
Oh my gosh, yes, absolutely. This is a year where we're going to attract some very like-spirited people who are going to come out of nowhere, literally, and who are going to support us in creating what we have to do. And the more, we accept that this is not a time to work on our own. This is a time to collaborate and, put all our skills together to create shifts much faster. So this is not a year of jealousy. This is not a year of I'm better than you. This is a year of understanding, hey, we're all in this together. Let's get out of this together. Let's pool our forces and our resources together to create a better world. And we're going to find amazing solidarities. Sometimes with the least expected people, and people maybe we haven't heard from in forever, or people we didn't necessarily consider as our best friends, and all of a sudden they will turn out to be the ones who roll up their sleeves and just do the work with us. And it's going to be like, whoa, where did this come from? But it's working. It's absolutely working. And
that leads us onto the question of money. So how is, the main thing to only get things started? You have to have a functioning economy. What house does money fall into? I'm sorry, I don't know. That's an astrologer. And how is that looking? How are the planets in that particular house?
Actually, usually the second house and the eighth house are the houses of money. But the amazing thing this year is that money is going to manifest as we need it. So that should not be our primary concern. Our concern should be to be in integrity and to be in our hearts. And as we are in our hearts and we are in integrity, then the rest will flow from that, and finances are actually going to be manifested or will come out of the in the weirdest ways. All of a sudden we'll receive what we need. So we need to absolutely have trust this year. We need to absolutely know what we know and to know that we are supported. Even if we feel alone at some time, we are not going to be remaining alone. Things are going to start transforming very, very fast.
Yeah, you know, what we saw here in this, this, we're getting used to catastrophes here. We are starting to organize as to how to handle them better. And what is very sad to see is people that are, you know, that have absolutely no work, you know, may never have work again, and no one to trust. And what can you say to those people for next year? Well, I mean, good intentions and all will not feed them.
But, you know, I don't agree with that, Carmen, because, you know, I'm actually in the hotel right now of some friends who are losing their hotel, and they're going to have no home and no work within a week. But, you know, the truth is, I know that because of all the work they have done on themselves and what they have created here, it's not, it looks dramatic, the situation looks dramatic, but it's for something way better. And actually their true dream is to return to their place of birth and to be with their family. And I know that it's the universe, you know, giving them a little kick in the butt and saying, hey, just live your dream, go for it. Because if they hadn't had this happen to them, they would have stayed here, which is not necessarily their highest dream. So, you know, people, we think we're alone. We're never alone. There's always people around us. There's always, we always have a gift. Everybody has a gift. And, you know, the person who created Kentucky Fried Chicken, all he had was a fried chicken recipe and his little Social Security paycheck that was not going to allow him to survive in any way. And now he created this incredible multi-million, you know, business that maybe is, I don't know, questionable from a health point of view, but hey, it's possible. Everybody has a talent. Everybody has something that they have inside of them, a spark of light. And from there, if you start to focus on that spark of light, you will find friends. If you start to say yes to life, if you start to open yourself to what is right around you, and you start to shift your attitude, because it's really about shifting our awareness of ourselves and stop feeling like victims and stop feeling like poor little me, you know, I'm alone and I can't do that and I don't have the money. You know what? If you look at Steve Jobs, the guy started with no money in his garage. He just had an idea. And that idea has inspired millions of people around the world and has helped the work of millions of people around the world. So there is nothing small in what is in our hearts, and everybody has that with no exception. But it's a matter of looking at it and believing in ourselves.
No, I know that's a very, very good thing to remember. And do you, I have my question here as well for you here. One of our colleagues asking here, is this a progression chart that you do? Or do you specifically for yourself?
No, I do a combination of charts. I never do only one chart. I always base it on the natal chart. Then I look at the secondary progressions. I look at the transits. I look at the harmonics. I look at the solar return, and I do a sort of combination of all those charts together, and that's my, you know, approach to it. And I also look into numerology, so that's why I really feel that it's important, especially now that we're becoming so much broader. You know, it used to be that we had just one phone and one address. Now we have, like, you know, we can be reached by Skype, by Facebook, by Viber, by fax, by, you know, I mean, there's so many ways now of reaching people, by email, by regular letters, and that's exactly, or look, before it was, we had coffee either with sugar or cream. Now we have Starbucks, and I don't think anybody has exhausted all the, you know, potential of Starbucks. And we are becoming multidimensional beings, and because of that, astrology, which reflects our lives, should be also of that nature. So that's why I always use a combination of charts, which I synthesize, and that's how I navigate my readings.
We have 5 minutes left in the interview. I wanted to ask you about your book. You wrote a book on quantum astrology. Tell us a little about that and your new book. Please tell us a bit about what you are writing.
Well, actually, the one you're mentioning is the one I'm writing. So, but the one I wrote is Astrology for Enlightenment, which was published by Simon & Schuster, which is actually a redefinition of astrology based on the observation of nature. And I don't believe that we are just one sign. I believe we are all the signs and all the planets. And in my book, I explain how each sign can be empowered by all the other 11 signs, and how we can start looking and learning astrology in the way it was intended to be learned, by observing things around us. So there's whole lists of colors and objects and archetypes and animals and countries and cities and metals and plants and everything that are associated with each sign and each planet. And when we start to look at those signatures, we can start learning ourselves the richness and the depth of astrology and come up with our own interpretations.
And so this is going to be available on your website, Michelle. I wanted to give this as well. We're going to give this out at the end of the show. But considering, you know, your brightness, which is so needed in our world right now, what would you want for us, your main wish, if you were to run, you know, our future, what would be your main observation for us humans?
Enlightenment. I believe the only way out of this situation is enlightenment. And I think our task as human beings is to reach this state of transparency, this state of absolute unconditional love and absolute faith in ourselves, belief in who we are, and knowledge that we each are an expression of the divine. And we are the divine. And once we are able to do that, I mean, imagine, that's why the calendar, the Mayan calendar, ended, not because it's the end of the world, but because there is no telling what millions of masters are going to create on this earth. And all the prophecies of the earth talk about this golden age that we're entering into. And it's a time of enlightenment. It's a time of joy, the time of peace, the time of knowing who we are, remembering our truth, our divine truth, and experiencing it and manifesting it into the world.
You know, it's amazing how we have been almost brainwashed to think that it does not exist. I believe it exists. It exists very much in you, Michelle. I think that we should, you know, turn off our TVs and, you know, tune out from all this terror out there and remember that the spirit and the souls in us will prevail. They always have, no matter what the odds are.
Absolutely.
And I wish your friends the best. I'm sure they will, under your guidance, do very well. Michelle, it was so very, very wonderful meeting you. And
thank you.
I would love to have you, you know, come to speak to me at some point, if you like, if you ever wish to have any guidance as well. And you're a brilliant writer. You always have some amazing seminars happening. For you that don't know the other side with Michelle, she's also a shamanism practitioner and teacher, and she often travels to South America to give courses in shamanism. And it's something that maybe we could have you back on another show to discuss, Michelle, if you'd be happy to.
I would be absolutely honored and delighted, Carmen. Thank you.
Thank you so much, and bonne nuit, and have a very, very bon rêve tonight. And we'll see you in the astral somewhere when you cross back over into North America. And thank I'll you be much. There on Eastern Standard Time, okay?
Merci beaucoup. Merci.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Amen. Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night. Well, thank you. Thank you so much for listening. And you can find out more about this wonderful, talented, well-published, very well-educated Michelle Carin. That's Michelle Carin at michellecarin.com. And that's a capital M, capital K, with a Karen.com. And before we get into the latter part of our show, where we will be discussing Michelle's ideas, I'd like to take a few moments to make some announcements. And just want to remind you to be sure to stay tuned for the second half of our evening's show to get your free on-air reading with our gifted psychics and co-announcers. We will announce the call-in number later, so be sure to have your pen and paper ready. And just to remind you, if you were unable to catch last week's show on the esoteric Christmas, you were probably having Christmas, and you will find the recorded archive link as well as the archives to all our previous shows on psychicaccesstalkradio.com under the Archives tab. Please feel free to circulate and share the archive links and future show details to your friends and family, and to your enemies as well if you think they should be enlightened. So it is our objective to connect with as many individuals as possible, so please share that link with others. Please be sure to visit psychicbloggers.com to learn about everything from the paranormal to reincarnation to astrology through the instructions and recommendations for psychic development also written by our other gifted psychics, all our own psychics here at psychicaccess.com. There are many besides myself, Steve, Stephen, and Maureen that you can select from. Now, if you're interested in going to a reading for the best professional psychics on the net, where you'll find the best verified and accuracy-tested psychics, each with their own unique gifts, come to us because each psychic has a detailed profile and for you to find out more about them and to select from the list of some of the most authentic, gifted psychics on the internet. It is an honor working with Doug and Psychic Access because of the high expectations required of each psychic. And just so that you know, we absolutely do verify and get to know all our psychics personally, and we work with each other, and there's a very high standard of ethics. We maintain that, and we welcome you to try that out for your on-air 6-minute reading with us at psychicaccess.com. So, now we have a moment of meditation. No, I'm kidding. We're actually going to go into banter, which is our conversational portion while our readers or our listeners come in and get warmed up and start thinking about all the questions they wish to discuss, right? So I would like to be able to see who would like to go first. Round robin, I'm going to guess and go with Maureen.
Why would you do that when we have two astrologers on here? I knew you were going to, you know, I felt it. I could feel the energy coming. I got it coming.
Oh, you must be
okay,
psychic.
Carmen, so I was making rude remarks about you. I was not. And we were, you know, you saw everything I wrote lovely. You know, your guest was lovely. And all the way from France, isn't that lovely, even more lovelier, that we have these guests that come from all over the world. You know, really, it's fantastic. We're global. You know, what I did like about what she said was that, you know, about material, she was discussing material, she was a little bit deeper than just the regular predictions of things, which I liked. That's what I did like about this interview. It wasn't so much, okay, whatever, who's going to win football, whatever, all that stuff, or the political stuff, the normal things that I know a lot of people want to hear, but I kind of appreciated what she was talking about more in the deeper type of ways and area. And she said something about material, or, you know, we'll get just what we need in monetary and material, well, you know, money, give me the money, show me the money. But what I liked about it is she said, really, it's about more than that. It's about we're seeing a bigger picture, you know, bigger picture. There's a lot more calm, and that's what, and I, again, we've gone through 2012, we made it, and things have been heading in that direction, you know, so I appreciated that. She pointed that. But I'm no astrologer. Well, yeah, actually, I was a self-taught astrologer. And I was quite good at one point, but I did it all in the old school. There was no computers. And my mind would spin. If you ever did it the long way, I don't know, you guys. You know what, Stephen, I don't know if you even know what I'm talking about, but in order to calculate things back in the 80s, it was very difficult. And it was a fascinating time for me, but it was overwhelming. So my charts were few and far between, but they were done. It would take me 4 or 5 months to do one. So,
oh, you do charts too?
Oh no, but this was way back. I don't, you know, they have, it's computerized. Just to get the calculations correct, it was, everything was done not by, you know, nowadays you can input everything. It's very easy, but I was self-taught, so I didn't, you know, I taught myself through books. I have some fascinating, fascinating books from 1940. I have some cool books that I found it a fantastic. So I have some really cool books. They go into Saturn and Capricorn with the Capricorn. I mean, some pretty intense stuff, but they're old time books. But so I learned, you know, about everything on my own, which, to say the least, you know, the guys, Stephen, there's a lot, it's complicated. But it all came down to this. Everything I was learning, it all fused together in all the other sciences, like numerology, the tarot, everything, and, you know, and astrology. Everything made sense. I was, like, amazed. I couldn't, you'd have to experience it, you know. You know what I mean? You'd have to experience it. It all fused into one thing. The sciences just kind of fused together. Fantastic.
What sign are you, Maureen?
I am a Leo sun, and I'm a Pisces rising. And that's why I am what I am. And I always tell people, if you're going to read the newspaper, this is the thing. And I don't, you know, I it's hilarious. When I read those, you know, things in the newspaper, everybody loves to. If I do, and of course, if I want it to apply to me and I feel like it, I'll say, oh, that's cool. But I always tell people, read their rising sign and their sun sign, just because. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize, you know, when they're getting, tell me, you know, you need to have all the information, like the guys know, you know, you can't really do a reading very quickly on the phone for 5 minutes with somebody if you don't, you know, it takes, astrology's a lot of time involved, or you at least have to do all the research before you can consult, or, you know, someone comes for a consultant. And back in the day, what I would do is I spent, like, months, like I said, on one. They were very special, and I still have very special readings. And I put on cassette tape, and I would consult them. But I also, I went above and went to the intuition part of it, too. I used, you know what I mean? It was like, I, you know, maybe Stephen can understand what I'm saying. So that's all I have to say here. Thank you,
well,
Carmen.
Well, no, I mean, I think it makes sense that you're a Leo. And that's
I think I have
a Leo rising in me, actually. I'm not sure.
Oh, yeah.
And then I've known a lot of Leos. They're some of them my best friends.
Some of the women are just, but you know, I can only say this. You can't always go, someone goes, oh, yeah, that's who you are, your sun sign, and they'll go, oh, God, that's, and you can't really go on that. There's so much more to it. I mean, I look like a Leo, and I'm a dramatic, and I'm very vivacious. And I, you know, I have the hair like one, but the Pisces is what. And I was in draw, you know, I was an actress. That's all I wanted to be when I grew up.
You were an actress too?
Oh, that's my, was my thing in theater and everything for many years.
Okay.
And here I am. This is the work I'm supposed to do, though. So I'm on the radio. I am.
Exactly.
I'm not acting. But yeah, thank you, Carmen. It was a good interview. I liked her very much, so too.
Doesn't she have a beautiful voice? I love her voice.
I love sexy voice. It's
yeah, just to be French in my next life.
The men, the women, they're all lovely. Yeah.
Well, I think that there's something about the French people. They like to speak well. And I know this from living in France. And they like their own language so very, very much. And then they learn to actually put it into a very, into a sing-song tone. So they speak like they sing. And
that's,
I just find
right.
that it's just so amazing. I just, I want to be surrounded by them and I'll be happy. Forever,
maybe in
ever.
Another lifetime I can go and be born there. And be part of, it'll come naturally. I know, it's a beautiful. And they also drive on the same side as Americans, which I love.
Well, there you go. Now that just clinches the deal.
That just clinches the deal. Thank you, Carmen.
Okay, Maureen, thanks. And we're going to go with Stephen. You are an astrologer.
I fancy myself one. Better said, even though I practice this professionally, I still consider myself a student of astrology.
So we should be asking Steve about the way that a chart is set up before we go.
I mean,
on
I know, I know how to set up a chart. Don't get me wrong.
Okay, tell us about that, please.
Well, Maureen was right when she said that in the 80s and in, you know, earlier years, it was much more difficult to set up a chart because one had to consult ephemerides, which are, you know, thick books that have a listing of where the planets are. It was just a time-consuming process. Now we have computers, of course, and computers simplify that process a great deal and, you know, have advanced the art. But you take someone like Maureen. She said, actually, she made a large number of important points. You know, she's a Leo. I'm a Leo. Doug's a Leo. You have Leo rising. Certainly, it's no accident that all of us have been attracted to radio, and we have, you know, this Leo quality emphasized in our charts. Now, Maureen was right about the rising sign because it's actually more obvious to other people than your own sun sign is, believe it or not, because it's what they call an angle. In other words, total strangers would be able to perceive your rising sign much more easily than they'd be able to perceive your sun sign. And certainly with that combination of artistic Pisces and attention-loving, charismatic, dramatic Leo, that's definitely the perfect signature for an actor. But notice, she's not an actor now. She's in a more mystic profession. And that's what astrology does. It doesn't tell us so much what the scenery is going to be like. It tells us what the destination is more. And not the scenery on the way to get there.
So you have the rising sun, and then for those of them, we were talking about new moon in Capricorn. Now what, and so the components of a person is you have the sun sign, you have the rising sign, which is the way the world sees you, and then you have the moon sign. Tell us about that.
Well, the moon sign is also just as important, if not more so, than the sun sign, because it describes reactions to you that are way more natural than the sun. The sun simply describes something that is going to be like your personal holy grail to achieve in this lifetime. Now, your moon is going to describe how you naturally react when you're wounded, when you're happy, you know, the sort of space that you retreat to in order to feel secure, emotionally secure, that everything's going to be okay.
Interesting.
It is. Now, we have to understand that the universe is constantly moving. There are a number of very complex motions in the heavens that we astrologers are fascinated with and pay attention to. There's not just that one motion. There's a variety of different motions. You know, the Earth is spinning. It's orbiting the sun. Meanwhile, as it's doing that, it's wobbling back and forth in a cycle that takes about 25,000 years to complete. So what we have here are essentially several different clocks that are nested one on top of the other. Time pieces is what they are. And what do they time? They time the appearance of promises in your life that are made to you by the universe. The astrologer, he looks at your birth chart and he says, okay, Carmen, this is what the universe has promised to you, you know, be it for ill or for good, one way or the other. This is what's promised to you. And now let's, you know, see if we can't time when these promises will actually come about in your life. You see.
And can you, do you believe, are you also, do you believe you can affect the outcome of your timing? And can you change, can you sort of just maneuver a little bit in from one planetary, one future into another? It's set.
Well, this is where I would probably disagree with other astrologers who, you know, this is an area, it's a point of contention. I personally believe that, no, there's a large part of your fate that is precisely that. It's fate. Now, I mean, you think about the word fate and destiny. It has a lot of components to it. There's a hereditary fate. You know what I'm saying? If you're born with multiple sclerosis or you're born blind or deaf or whatever, then this is your fate. There's no sidestepping that. I mean, you can. The best one can do is sublimate. In other words, the best one can do is try hard as one might to take the lemons and make lemonade out of them. And, you know, unfortunately,
oh, my goodness, really, hey? Okay.
I mean, this is just my personal beliefs. Certainly, I'm pretty sure Steve might disagree with me on that one, and I think that my views on it are actually fairly controversial in the world of astrology. Most astrologers would say, "No, Stephen, you're totally wrong. You can certainly, you know, you can certainly avoid or reverse the severity of the cosmic decree." You know, and they have the right to say that. I just disagree with them.
Okay, and thank you, Stephen.
Sure.
I'm going to take that and segue it right back into Steve here. Loop it right back to you, Steve. What would you say? What sign are you? For one.
Well, I liked one of the things I liked about what your guest said, Carmen, was that all of the signs are within us.
Yeah.
So when you look at a person's chart, all signs are in the chart, just in different areas and in different proportions. So in my chart, my sun is in Capricorn and my ascendant is Virgo. That's why with all of you Leos, I can't get a word in edgeways on the conference calls. Unless it's politics, they get really riled. But so I have very little Leo energy in my chart. But although the sun is in Capricorn and my ascendant is Virgo, I have a lot of energy in Aquarius. So my chart is by far Aquarius. I think I'm something like 38% Aquarius.
Yeah, that's like me. I'm an Aquarian. Mainly, and I think I have a huge part of my chart. It is quite. Actually, I'd have to have you look at it, but that would make sense. And that's what I find so fascinating about this, isn't it? Is that you could absolutely. I would absolutely say yes, Steve. You do. You are Virgo, and you do have that Capricorn base. And I love Capricorns. I think that for the most part, the world needs that stability, and that's why I was really looking forward to this reading, because continuing what we were discussing last week, and I would love to hear your insights on this too, was this Capricorn energy that is going to be grounding 2014, anchoring it. Really, we're not jettisoned anymore. This is the time to pay attention. And what would you say that you would say you've looked at this year from your place in the world that you're at, and it's not, you know, you're in the North America. What do you think it looks like to you?
Well, I think it's challenging, Carmen. Okay. You know, you have to look at each person individually. So we can't generalize, just like we can't generalize and say, well, Steve's a Capricorn, because my chart is very much Aquarian. So the sun is in Capricorn, but people are sometimes misled by the sun in the chart, because if the sun is weaker and you've got a lot of other planets under another sign, then you may be very much of another sign. But to answer your question, it's a mixed bag as always. But the cross that, or the square that was being referred to, the square between Uranus and Pluto, there are a number of those squares. And so we haven't experienced all of those squares, and they do build in energy and intensity. It's as though each one is building up to the next one. So I don't feel that it's going to be an easy year, generally speaking, although some people may have a good year in their chart. I don't think universally it's going to be a wonderful year. There are always good things that happen, but we live in a very, very challenging time. You know, I was reading yesterday about this situation in Central Africa with children being beheaded, and I mean, it's hideous. So there are terrible things happening in the world, and the square continues to build. I don't feel that just when we get beyond that, those squares, that everything's all sweetness and light. There's no doubt that we have, as a human race, huge amount of work to do. I like the new Pope, actually. And I'm not Catholic, but I very much like the new Pope, Pope Francis. And I was reading today that he's getting far more people coming and listening to his talks at the Vatican. And I think that's because he's down to earth. He's in tune with reality and what people are really experiencing. And he said just yesterday, I think, enough. We've got to stop killing each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy.
And he comes from quite an interesting background, I believe, from missionary background. What do you call them? There's a word for that. Anyway, very, very staunch religious background, and he's actually quite relaxed and liberal-minded.
He's apparently Carmen. Your guest was talking about that's the square between Pluto and Capricorn and Uranus and Aries, and it brings challenges to institutions and the way we do things. And the Catholic Church is a great example, because Pope Francis has said he's going to challenge things next year. He's going to want changes in the Catholic Church. So he's an example of somebody that's breaking down some of those old ways of being that just don't make sense anymore. mm-hmm. or that never made sense, but that have come to the surface recently.
No, I know. And so, I mean, basically what you would say is that he would be a stabilizing influence. And I am also deeply grieved by the world events. And I'm not sure whether it's because we're seeing more of it, that more of the information is getting out on the news. But it is absolutely ghastly. And I will, though, have to take Michelle's approach, and I have to start thinking more positively. If not, I will get engulfed and swallowed up
by
this.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, no, you know what I mean.
There's no point in us thinking negatively.
It's hard.
But at the same time, I know, but at the same time, I think that you have to look at things realistically in order to fix them, you know?
It's just devastating. It's just try to keep the TV off or something, or just, you know, watch the weather network, weather channels. It's always so entertaining to watch people get blown around, but not actually killed type thing. And, you know, I think that I'm really waiting for, what would you say that this is going to crest at in terms of a real change? This year, 2014, Michelle said that it'll be in 2015 in March or May, there's going to be another change. And I think you hinted at something a little while back that you felt 2016 was going to be a pivotal year.
Well, my concern for 2016 is the economy, the U.S. economy. Yeah. I feel that the U.S. economy really gets into troubled waters again in 2016. And then later this decade, the U.S. will have its Pluto return in the House of Finances. So that will that's going to be very interesting, because it puts a whole question mark over the way our economy functions. And I feel that 2016 is really a build up to that need to really look at how we're operating. And then as we get into the 2020s, I think that there's going to be quite a lot of conflict. I'm quite concerned about 2022, 2023, but I'm not being a scaremonger, but my interest in researching metaphysics is to face and solve problems that exist. You know, so for example, Carmen, if my leg's going to drop off, I'm the kind of person that wants to know. I'd rather you tell me my leg's going to drop off so that I can try and avoid it or mitigate the risk, than just go forward not knowing that my leg could drop off.
Totally get you. I totally understand that. Well, Steve, oh, you have a caller.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Oh, no, sorry, Stephen, actually.
Stephen, okay.
Okay, well, no, oh, sorry, didn't mean to. That was like a little PH and a V mixed up with your name.
Don't feel bad. I get as confused sometimes, too, Carmen, but I believe I got a caller from Ohio, no?
Yay.
All right. Well, who am I speaking with in Ohio?
Is this Kathy?
Well, hello. How can I help you this evening?
Yeah. Excuse me?
How may I help you?
Yes. I would like to see what you have in store for Aries. Are you doing, like, astrology? Is that what you're doing tonight? Or just questions?
Okay. So you're in Aries then, correct?
Yes. March 22nd, 51.
All right, let's see what's going on in your life right now. The thing about astrology is that it's a little bit too time consuming for telephone, you know, for short 5-minute types of situations here. Astrology is quite time consuming and involving, but I do use tarot cards, and that would probably be the best for evaluating what's going to be on your plate in this coming year, okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, well, let's first of all see what we have on the agenda right now. Okay, and now over the next 3 months, okay, and this is going from now until January, February, until about the beginning of springtime, the end of March or so, these are actually going to be fairly nice months for you. The most difficult one is going to be in February, okay? I want you to be on your guard in February. Take extra special care of yourself in February. Attend to the needs of your body, your health, for example, because the Two of Swords tells me here that you're definitely going to be encountering some sort of low-level types of problems. Do you see? The number 2 is a low number. It's not a 10, not an 8. It's a 2. So this tells me the problems are going to be more along the lines of the nature of irritants. Do you see what I'm saying? irritants. And again, this isn't going to be a permanent situation. I only bring it up just to sort of let you know that you want to be extra careful, you know, getting enough sleep, watching your diet, taking care of your body so that you don't get sick, taking supplements, etc., to watch out for sickness. February is going to be the tough spot there. Once we get out of it, March is going to be wonderful. March, in fact, I see that you're going to have a resonance with your own sun sign of Aries, because we have the King of Scepters reversed. Scepters is the fire element. So what this tells me, this actually describes the zodiacal sign of Aries. This tells me that you're going to be pioneering, courageous, taking initiative on things. So you're going to actually be living up to your sun sign of Aries. You're going to have a lot more confidence in March. And going forward from that, you're going to be able to carry that confidence with you. However, the road, just because you're going to have more personal power and confidence doesn't mean that you're not going to encounter some difficulties with other people, you know, coworkers perhaps, or family members. There'll be some minor conflicts, but absolutely nothing that's going to cause you a huge difficulty. Probably out of the next 6 months, the biggest fly in the ointment is actually going to be also April. I see problems with mobility in April. The Seven of Swords hints that there could be a problem with transportation. So drive carefully, you know, pay attention on the road. Okay, of the next 6 months or so, February and April are going to be the ones where you need to pay the most attention to watch out for accidents, and they'll probably be the ones where you deal with the most difficulties, okay?
Very good, very good.
All right, but other than that, it's looking really, really good for you, okay? So you just hang in there.
Thank you, and I enjoy it. I find you guys on the computer, and I can't write things, but I can see things and like things, and thank you, and let your light shine, and thank you so much for all your great energy.
Well, thank you very much for being part of the Psychic Access family. I hope you come visit us at psychicaccess.com. If you haven't registered for the site, you get a free 6-minute reading with any one of the 4 or 5 pages of psychics there. So come on out and visit us, okay?
As soon as I get a computer, on my computer, I can just like things and share things. I can't comment on anything because I have a dinosaur computer, but I'm going to get a new one eventually.
Okay.
I get one before long.
We'll be waiting for you, okay?
And I'll be waiting for you, too. God bless.
Okay, bye-bye.
Great. Okay, we got another one. He's converted to us. Isn't that lovely?
Nice,
okay,
person.
Kathy. And now it's okay. We're going over to Maureen of Missouri.
Yes,
you have a caller from Missouri.
Missouri. I like how you say, hello, Missouri. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. May I ask your name, please?
I'm kind of taking a road trip, just kind of by myself, and I want to know what this road trip is going to entail with me this weekend.
Okay. So you're on a road trip by yourself, and so your question is what you will encounter as far as this weekend journey goes? Okay.
Yeah.
Because of our time restraints, and I'll get so much information, and I want to help you or give you some insights that might be helpful. Are you on a mission of where you're heading towards or anything? Is there something on your mind particularly? Because it'll help me, like
weekend,
I said.
This is a weekend trip, nothing like, you know, nothing.
No like expectations ritual. At all in any way?
Expectations, a mini vacation.
Expectations, I guess, is what I'm wondering. You know, I think it's absolutely great. I mean, if, you know, well, it looks like, are you, for instance, you're by yourself, you're going on the road trip, and are you heading on this road trip? Are you thinking about stopping and seeing somebody and how that might work out? Or do you have no expectations? Whatever happens in the now is going to be fine? I just need to know.
Can I see somebody?
I'm sorry, you said you are going to see, yeah?
Yeah, when somebody? I get to my destination, but I'm not stopping anywhere along the way.
Okay, well, along the way, this is the thing. This is what I'm getting. I do see that you've been carrying a big burden on your back. It's fantastic that it's almost like you've decided to make the conscious, mindful choice to, you know, let, you were juggling about doing this. And it does look like there was a delay and some change of residence or relocation surrounding this whole energy. However, I do see that... I do see anything emotionally attached to anybody else you're going to be seeing. It's going to be very pleasant. I feel that there's a feeling as if somebody's more more self-aware when you're together. And I also see somebody it's interesting because I see a delay in movement, but I'm also seeing somebody working. Is there anything work-related in this road trip as well? Or the person you may be seeing, because I do see somebody getting more being acknowledged and for their skills, finally getting acknowledgement. And it's a brand new start. It's very good. It's very good. You've been on a real spiritual mission, and it's been kind of isolating. And there's this road trip is going to bring a lot of changes for you about where you're going to. And there is something about relocation in this as well. And work, your work, creative works, things are going to be changing. And anybody has judgment about this, it won't matter anymore. I know you. Hopefully you follow what I'm saying, but I, like I said, because I don't have a lot of time on the readings on the phone here, on the show. But so what I'm getting is this: you're going where you're heading and what your journey and your destination, everything like that, is going to be very helpful for you not to be or. Very helpful in encouraging you to be more decisive rather than undecisive about where your direction's going. It's going to be real. It's like a crossroads feeling. And yeah. And I see this in your work and also your personal relationship area of your life. Like a beacon light. It's good timing.
Okay.
So I hope that helped you. I know. You know, like I said, it was kind of a hard question. Like I said, if I was reading off the air, it's easier for me, you know, to go into further. But there's everything with it's just the timing of where you're doing or where you're heading. It's going to bring a lot of, you know, you're going to be very clear about what direction you would like to take. Like I said, in both areas, your creativity, work, and relationship, personal, close relationship. And you might have delayed. I see maybe relocation might come from this or decision to do so.
Hi.
Hello? Hello?
Hello?
I can't. I'm sorry. We're breaking up. Did you follow me okay? Yes?
Yeah, I sure did. Thank you.
Oh, great. I hope I helped you. Thank you for calling.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, great. So if you want to speak to Maureen, you can find her on our site as well. That's Maureen. Thank you, Maureen. Okay, we have a caller for Steve with a V from Pennsylvania. We have someone from Pennsylvania tonight, Steve.
Thank you, Carmen. Who's calling from Pennsylvania? Pennsylvania, can you hear me?
Hello?
Hi, what's your name?
Hi, my name's Kimberly.
Hello, Kimberly. How can we help?
I was wondering if you see in mine and my husband's future of having a baby. We have been trying for about 4 years with no luck.
Let's see. Well, I feel that you will. I feel that you will. You know, I'd use the cards on the radio show. We only have a short while for each caller, but I can see that you've had challenges. So the cards show me that you've had challenges, but the card that comes up in the near future is the fertility card. And also you've got the Ace of Wands coming up next to that. And the Ace of Wands is a great card. It's an initiation of fire, but I feel strongly that card, along with this card that indicates fertility, says that yes, you can have children. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that it happens easily unassisted, but it does say that there is hope that you can have children. I'm very drawn to the month of May, actually. So I'm not sure whether that means conception in May or childbirth
well,
in
our,
May.
But our anniversary is in May.
Oh, your anniversary is in May. Okay.
Yeah,
well, you've got
the
wonderful
day that we started dating is in May, and the day we got married is in May.
Oh, okay. That's wonderful. Well, you have a grandmother in spirit, who, well, I've got a lady in spirit. I presume she's a grandmother because she comes across as an older person. But she also refers to the month of October, but that feels relevant to her. But she's very proud, and she's the one that's referring to May. So she wants to be remembered to you. But I feel that you can do this. Obviously, if you've had challenges, then get checked out and look at the different ways of maximizing your possibilities, but I feel that you can. I do feel that you can. And, you know, we've talked a lot about astrology this evening, and I can't look at your astrology chart right now, but that is a great way of looking at fertility and timing of childbirth. So consider looking at the astrology of it as well. But, yeah, I feel you can do it, okay? You've got a great marriage. You've got a really good marriage. I really feel good about your husband and your relationship, which is a great blessing.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck and Happy New Year.
You too. Bye.
Thank you, Steve. That was an amazing reading. And you can reach Steve at psychicaccess.com. And so I have a caller from Pennsylvania. And how are you tonight, person from Pennsylvania? Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Okay, thank you. Happy New Year. Nice to meet you.
Happy New Year. Yes.
Hey. So what's your name? What can I do for you?
This is Penny, and I have been working two jobs for I don't know how long. I'm just, is either one of these jobs going to turn, I mean, one is full-time, one's part-time, but is either one of them going to turn around so that I can just financially be able to have one job and have part of a life?
Let me try and identify the two streams of work you're in and which one has a stronger signature. So without you telling me, I'm just going to take a guess. One moment. Okay. So, and it seems to me here that the company, the first company you're working with, you're not necessarily in a decision-making capacity. So that would mean that it's almost like you're working with younger people, travel, and it says here this is an indecisive group of people. Possibly there's a large volume of people traveling in and out of this particular organization or company. For you, your strengths lie in, do you have children, by the way? Penny, I'm getting to know you. So, do you have kids, or do you want? Because there's something here about childcare that comes in as an aspect. Now, this could tie into your work, but then it says here the stronger outcomes for you. I would be expected to be actually in a nurturing field, where, and it says here possibly some more study is needed. So, this is what I'm thinking here. Is for you, it's possibly giving me sort of an indifferent that for the next few months, no real change and no let's see here. It says here there's somebody above you that's trying to make a partnership work, and they may be a bit greedy, so they may not include you until they've got their entire business plan mapped out. They're doing quite well. So you have to ask where you're going to be. And I know that you are. What do you do, Penny?
Right now, I am a front-end manager at a convenience store. Mm-hmm. Grocery store. And I'm also administration assistant at a business brokerage firm.
Okay. And do you have any, it says here that your proclivity, your best strengths would actually be a childcare or healthcare. And any of them, you say they're vague firms, but do any of them have that angle? Because it might be actually indicating that that's where you end up, that it might be still wise to continue looking. I don't see necessarily anything really changing within those two specific jobs in terms of a promotion. And so you're going to have to probably, if I were... it says here about money. Of course, you're going to continue with your work. And actually, in one of your jobs, there may be a slight incentive change. And so what it does say here is it's not so bad. It's bad, but it's not going to be as bad as it sounds, because apparently you're going to get some incentive in your job. And so I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, okay, you're probably going to find that you're going to have to make a career change. A complete change again, and that means looking for a job. And I would feel like, to some extent, don't do it now. Don't put the pressure on yourself, because it does say here that you're stable. It does say here that it will change. It does say you're going to go into a completely different field. And that's possibly maybe up to 2 years down the line. And I know that's not the news you wanted to hear, but as, you know, Steve said, you know, best to know the realistic, you know, as opposed to the fantasy. And I'd say, sorry, what was your question?
No, it's absolutely fine. I mean, it's been the economy the way it is and everything. I just, healthcare wasn't really one that I wanted to go into. Death. I don't like sickness. I don't like seeing people suffer like that.
It's possible you could be in the marketing of a product or something like that. So it may not actually sound as dire. You don't have to be necessarily in an immediate healthcare providing or in nursing or anything like that. And I'm thinking here you actually might find that there is a surprise for you in terms of what your one – it's actually not true that you won't have a complete change in your job status. You will get a slight incentive, you know. And I just want to – you know, that incentive will be a financial incentive, and what you will look at is absolutely possibly having to make a decision. It's not going to be the greatest financial incentive for you to think, wow, I'm going to give it up and, you know, take on only this job. But if you're smart, you'll probably continue to work with that company and then look for another job with your spare time, because you're going to get a slight incremental increase, you know, at that point. So I don't see this happening right away, and I'd like you to just, it probably does say here, your message for the new year, because that this is what you need to know, is that to some extent there's going to be, it's going to be kind of a dreamy space for you. You probably should just relax, dream, not achieve as much as you feel you need to, and that in the next 7 months there will be some clarity in terms of competitive work. It changes perhaps in the markets, but that I don't see that for another 7 months. And in the meantime, that means you're just being responsible and sitting tight, just like the rest of us. And I must say, I know that, and I hear this from all my clients, your stories. And it does say here at the end of your reading, you've got an amazing reading here, Penny. It says here with the Knight of Pentacles and the Three of Cups and the Ten of Coins and the Two of Cups. Do you know what that means? That means that in one day you will get a very good job for you. A very good position. I can't look at those cards and not say that. And on that note, I want to say that it's just so good, because we've done a couple readings with you now. It's like, yes, Penny, more than that, you're going to be worth a contract. And you're going to be possibly in an analytical position as well. So I have to pass you on to my next caller. But I wish you a great new year, and we will follow your progress. Okay?
You also. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Be well. Bye-bye. All right. So, hi, Stephen. You are next. You have a next call from Virginia.
Thank you very much, Carmen. Hello, Virginia. Who am I speaking with?
Hello?
Hi, what's your first name?
I'm Linda.
Very nice to meet you, and thank you for calling. How can I help you tonight?
Oh, I was just calling in. It's my first time calling in. I don't know.
Okay, do you have a specific question about anything? Anything bothering you? Any particular need for specific information?
I'm at a lot of crossroads.
There's a couple ways we can approach this. We can say, hey, what's going to happen to her? Or we can say, how is this specific situation going to develop? Do you know? So if you don't have a specific situation, we can just do a forecast.
Well,
okay?
I do have a romantic situation.
Okay, what do you need to know about your love life? We'll answer that question for you. No problem.
Okay. This one particular man has been kind of in and out of my life for almost 3 years now.
Okay.
And we've made contact with each other. And
yes, ma'am.
Hopes to start, you know, the relationship again in the new year here. And it's a long distance thing.
I see. Okay.
So,
all right.
Yeah.
And so you want to know whether or not you should. You want to know if you consent to this, you know, will you get the relationship that you want out of him? Is that essentially correct?
Yeah, because there's a lot of feelings tied up.
Right. Well, one thing I want to go ahead and point out to you right off the bat is that the card that's describing this gentleman describes him as being a Taurus. Now, it doesn't matter if he's a Taurus or an Aquarius or whatever, but what this card means is that pertaining to this situation, he's going to be fixed like a Taurus. Okay, which that right there off the bat tells me that there's not going to be any significant change in this romantic situation between the two of you, because Taurus does not change. Taurus will pick a path and stick with that same path until the very end of the journey. So what I want to caution you about, and you know, please forgive me for being negative here, but it's very important to me that you enter 2014 knowing exactly what to expect from this romance, and it's not going to progress the way that you would like it to. The distance is going to be a complete huge issue. It's going to make it really hard to perform the functions of love. And so you need to know this, because if you go into this thinking that there's going to be some relief, thinking that things are going to be different this time, you're going to be sorely disappointed, and I want to spare you that if at all possible, okay?
Okay.
Yes, ma'am. And so just to be very clear, what you need to know about this situation is that nothing's going to change. You know, eventually things will peter out, or there'll be problems just like there were last time, and you'll be faced with the same situation, breaking up. And then next year it'll be the same situation again. Well, let's try to, you know what I'm saying? So there'll be that cycle going on. It's time to break the cycle and acknowledge, if I want to find true love, then I have to do things differently than what I'm doing. You know, they say insanity is doing the same thing the same way, but expecting different results.
Yeah.
I'm trying to spare you from insanity. The results are going to be the same. So to get the best result out of your love life, you want to start attracting men into your life who are capable, equipped with the means to provide you with a relationship that you want. And this gentleman doesn't fit that bill. And the longer you play around with him, the less you're going to attract a man who really can provide you a legitimate, sincere, long-lasting relationship. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So now it's time to go ahead, break any romantic connection to this guy, break yourself of any hope that you'll have a romance with him. And what will happen? Two things: A, you'll heal, and B, you'll start attracting a more appropriate romance into your life, and that will happen. I promise you that. Okay.
Yeah.
Don't sound skeptical. It will happen. Trust me. The reason it's not happening now is because you're spinning your wheels in this romantic rut. You're in a romantic coffin. Do you see, with this gentleman? And what I'm trying to do is to convince you to resurrect yourself out of that living death, that coffin that you're in with this gentleman. And once you do that, you're going to go through a period of a few months where you're going to mourn, where you might be a little negative, but I promise you, after that period, you're going to bounce right back, okay?
Dude, I've been mourning for 3 years.
Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's the problem with these relationships that break up and get back together, break up and get back together. You know what I'm saying? Because it's going to prolong the mourning. It's like having a relative to pass away, and then you get to resurrect that relative, and then the relative dies yet again. Or a pet that keeps dying. You keep resurrecting it, but it keeps dying. What's going to happen eventually? You're just elongating your suffering. Let's stop that.
Yeah.
Let's mourn him. Death is healthy, but it's only healthy when we stop trying to avoid it, when we accept. Do you see what I mean? So now it's time to accept, to look the situation square in the face, mourn, and recover, which you will do, okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, I really appreciate you calling me tonight, and I do wish you the best of 2014, okay? You'll get what you want. You just got to hang in there.
Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for calling us tonight, and go easy on yourself.
Huh?
I said, thank you for calling us tonight, and take it easy on yourself. Treat yourself to something good. Yeah, you deserve it. You deserve it. Treat yourself to something good. And, you know, just hang in there. You're going to be fine, okay?
Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you, Stephen. Sure. And very succinct and detailed reading. We are going to just call out our number again for tonight to call in at 724-444-8851 is the call-in number to be able to ask a question with one of our gifted, wise persons. I'm not going to say wise men because we do have women on our panel. And Maureen, I think you had a good point.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up something. I'm going to be doing a show. I'm not plugging this. Well, I am plugging this. We're all part of the plug. Aren't we all? Yeah. Okay, so the reason why I'm bringing this up because I'm really interested in this, and we've never done a show on this, but I'm having a guest. Her name's Michelle, and it'll be on the 23rd, I think, January. And we're going to be doing she did some books on birth mix pattern. I don't know exactly what I'm going to call the show, so it can't be too long. But what's so great about this, because I come from a family of six children, is that and I many years ago I heard about this, but never as much as you boys will like this too, as well as you, Carmen, as what she found. She found a unique way to blend the using the birth order of a children, like if there's more than one, or birth order, and with astrology, numerology, and the birth order to answer questions of the level of accuracy. So to know whether you fit in, what goes on. And I do know that in psychology, many psychology areas, they do talk about there's always certain dynamics between a certain birth order. Once it gets to four kids, I think it goes back into it would be like the first child would be the fifth, be the birth order. But what I think is fascinating, this show will be about really how the way she looks at a lot of artists, authors, and civil leaders, and political presidents, everybody, and royalty and spirit have been analyzed to demonstrate how the birth mix process using astrology, numerology, and the birth order works. So she's going to be talking about that. I'm really excited about the show because we've never really kind of combined the birth order with the astrological of each, person in the family would be. So if anybody's following me, I hope so.
I swear to God, I'm going to get like another degree through you guys. I mean, I'm going to become like now an astrologer. I'll be able to add that to my
isn't it cool though?
Yeah, it's actually very, very excellent that we're doing this.
Well, yeah. Well, the thing is, like I said, I ran across her by accident, but I do know about the birth order. But you guys, Stephen and Steve, don't you think it makes some sense for each child, like in my crazy I'm the crazy good, but the rest, I'm sorry. There's six kids, right? We're all, we're all what we are. But don't you guys think it would make a lot of sense, Stephen, I'm asking you guys because you're, the astrologer guys, about the birth order as well as of how we came into and what the planets and everything in our chart, not just our sun sign, you know what I mean?
I'm going to let Steve take this one because as a Leo, I never let anybody get the word in edgewise. So I'm going to defer to my colleague.
I didn't mean on the show at all. Well, Maureen, I believe that everything is meaningful. Mm-hmm. I don't believe in coincidence because when we use the word coincidence, we're referring to the verb to coincide, two things occurring together. But we seem to say the word coincidence with the sense of chance or the meaning of chance. So I stick to the verb to coincide, and I feel that everything is meaningful. So yeah, I'm not surprised that the sequencing of births in a family is meaningful.
Yeah, and you can integrate the astrology part and really get more into it. Considering I was real different, I'm special now. I'm all bizarre and crazy nutcase went out. But they have done research on different birth orders. The fourth child, like I am, it's a lot of times the one that's kind of the underdog or misled or has had major issues. Now you combine astrology into that. Now that I've read this about this many years ago in psychological, the way they dynamics. But it all makes some sense if you grab the astrology, the numerology. There's so many people in families, if there's a lot of kids, for instance. It could bring about it could make a whole lot of sense as where I'm standing. I don't, I don't believe in anything. All I know is what I know. And all the people in my family, I'm sorry, be quiet. They're crazy. No, I'm just feeling like, I don't know. I was.
So you wonder if you were born in a different order, if you'd have had a different fate? Is that all in the same body?
I knew I was supposed to be born in this order and have my journey. I was, but I find it fascinating how the dynamics in the family do. The oldest, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, they do make a difference. But if you looked at their numerology and astrology and the birth order together, I find it's going to be, I think it will be a very interesting thing to view. And Stephen, you can say something.
Well, I was just going to actually comment on something that's actually, related to this, not so much. It doesn't touch on the birth order, but it actually talks about there's definite scientific evidence that certain horoscopes are hereditable. And I can tell you this as an astrologer, looking at the different charts of various family members, you will be shocked at how similar they are, and you can very easily see familial patterns repeating themselves. And for an example, in my family, we are all of us Leos. All of us. Every last one of us are Leos. My father must have been a master marksman. Sometime around Christmas, he must have gotten really happy because in August, every last one of us were born, and he himself is a Leo. So Leo is a vital sign to my family. And so that's something that you can definitely see in horoscopes between mothers, daughters, grandchildren. You'll see the same patterns. And it makes sense, doesn't it? Because family patterns often repeat throughout generations, like a virus.
Well, how about past lives, too, though? I feel that you could really get into it more about something like – I'm just going
to – Yeah. No, absolutely. The chart – I mean, the beautiful thing about the chart, any natal chart, is that it touches upon all areas of human experience. The only hard part is sort of determining which pie-shaped section of the chart, it describes.
Wait, I'm sorry to interrupt, but did you just take a copyrighted
Probably I did.
You took that from me, everybody here. Tarot is symbolic record of human experience. Now I hear you saying what?
I don't think I said. One of the reasons tarot is such a symbolic record of human experience is because it's highly related to astrology.
I say so.
Yeah, you got it like that, Maureen.
I'm having fun with you. I'm just having fun.
I'm having fun with me too, and I'm enjoying talking about this stuff. One of the reasons I love doing this this show to begin with is just because it's so educational for myself, and I just love
I guess
the sound of my own voice.
I think, yeah, and you can. But, I get, Carmen, you said something. I need to really, I get overwhelmed by the years gone by. I've been learning so much new stuff. It's great. It's never going to end. I don't care how many years.
Well, that's what I meant before when I said I still consider myself a student of astrology. We're talking about a science and an art that's over 5,000 years old. How arrogant of me to even suggest that I quote-unquote know it. The smartest among us can barely say that we know it.
No, even the most well versed in something, but
that's
never
the most we can. Exactly. That's the most we can hope for. And really, it's just astrology has been almost a religious experience in my life in terms of allowing me to understand the motivations of the creator of this universe. It's just taught me so much.
Stephen, I always think that. Well, I was thinking back to Carmen's comments at the, I'm not sure whether it was at the beginning of the show or on the conference call prior to the show, but we were talking about different religions. And I know actually it was Carmen's guest who said something about astrology being so evidential. You can't, if you're an astrologer, if you actually learn how astrology works, you can't deny it. You cannot deny that there's this huge, intricate, synchronized scheme at work. And in what other religion or faith do you get such concrete evidence?
Exactly. I like to think that not only tarot, but astrology also, I think these are the uber religions. It's no accident that they predate all of the, quote-unquote orthodox religions. You know what I mean, Steve? No accident at all.
Absolutely.
And the first level that this realization happens on is when you're looking at your own natal chart, That's when you see it first.
And you know what I thought was beautiful?
What's
I remember
that?
There was a documentary on the people from 30,000 years ago, the advent of mankind and womankind, persons, and they had gone into their caves and they had studied the drawings that they'd done. So 30,000 years ago, that's the advent of Homo sapiens. They had done drawings of the heavens, and they were almost in the identical place as they were today. And that was how they were able to mark the agricultural and seasonal changes. Mm-hmm. And then from there, rudimentary man must have figured out that the patterns indeed actually worked into their agricultural notes. And it was just the most amazing. It was this French documentary about this woman that went into these caves and looked at all these old drawings. And they actually had these old, I don't know if they were like sextants, but they were made of, or measurings, made of rock, this little, you know, that we still use these days for astronomy as a major angle calculator 30,000 years ago.
It's unbelievable. Stonehenge was designed specifically to monitor the eclipses.
All
because
of these
the eclipses
monuments,
indicate what's coming.
All of these monuments have some mm-hmm. astrological function at their heart. You can look at the Sphinx and you know, it tracks the coming of the ages. You know,
Stephen, I have to tell you, well, I know you know a little bit about this, but my guest for next week, Dr. Maria Kuman, is going to be talking about Atlantis. And we'll be talking about Noah, Noah's Ark, and the Book of Enoch, and the original metaphysical material. We'll be talking about the development of humankind. And one of the things I'll ask her about is the Sphinx, because she has a very clear understanding of why the Sphinx was built. You know that you know the answer, you know why, but I won't spoil, everyone else's fun. But it's going to be really interesting because she's a fascinating lady.
This is a lady with a background in physics, no?
She's a quantum physicist, yeah.
It's going to be a great show. I really am looking forward to that, definitely.
It's going to be a very special episode, as they say.
Yeah, she's written 25 books on this. God. She's just unbelievable.
Very excited about that show.
Yeah.
Oh, phenomenal, guys. Thank you for your input. And thank you to our listeners tonight for your show, for appearing in our interview. And I'm actually have a mixed, curious feeling. I have a bit of optimism about next year or this year, but I'm also cautiously probably rational. And I found this a very interesting discussion. Thank you to Michelle Caron, if she's still listening to us. And I wanted to say we're looking forward to next week's show. Guys, let's say goodbye. Bonsoir. Bonne nuit.
Bonne nuit.
Good evening.
Bless your hearts. La, la, la.
And thank you, Doug, for helping us with the technical aspects of the show. And sweet dreams. Night.
Hello. My name is Res Miranda. If you're having relationship, career, or life issues, I'm inviting you to experience what it's like to have access to professional, highly accurate psychics and spiritual advisors you can trust to care and help you. Register now to get your free 6-minute reading by telephone or chat. Get answers. Get access. Psychic access. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. PsychicAccess.com.